Bloomberg Surveillance with Michael McKee and Tom Keane. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
Sam Stovall is a U.S. equity strategist at S&P Capital IQ, who has looked into how elections, particularly midterms in this case, affect the markets. And you have looked, Sam, at basically the history back to 1901 of when we have had a unified Congress and a president of the other party. And that turns out to be just about the best combination you can get.
That's right. Actually, if you look back just to World War II, with a Democratic president and a Republican Congress, the average annual price change is a gain of 15%, which is the best of all scenarios. Going back to 1901, it is the second best scenario. Not surprisingly, the best is when you have the president and Congress be of the same party, because then there's more rubber stamping going on. You have less disagreement and more stimulative measures that are able to work their way through. But now looks as if the president will have to work with Congress to come up with some sort of a compromise. And Congress realizes that it has 2 years to show the electorate that it was a good thing that they voted them into power.
Well, we've got a Republican House and Senate and a Democratic president. Is there a difference when it's different when it's the Republicans who control the White House and Democrats who control both houses of Congress?
Yes, it is. And the numbers are very, very weak. Only 5% going back to 1945. We did not have that scenario prior to 1945. And basically, average increase, as I mentioned, about one-third that of when the roles are reversed, Democratic president and Republican Congress.
Sam Stovall with this S&P Capital IQ with a spectacular note on what we witnessed last night and what it means for all of us. Bloomberg Surveillance this morning brought to you by Cohn Resnick Accounting Tax Advisory. Cohn Resnick is proud to congratulate Joe Torre on his induction into the National Baseball Hall of Fame last summer. His lifetime achievements have created game-changing results. We thank Cohn Resnick for their support. I want to thank Sam Stovall. I mean, we know this from you and your father over the years. Always smart research. This is the single best chart I've seen on this linkage to Washington. With the best performance about where we're going, do you go ever more long on America this morning?
I think, you know, the question being, do you go further out on the risk curve? I would say no. I think you use this as a reason to maintain an exposure to equity. So, yes, you want to go long, but probably—
Continue, Sam.
Probably more because we got back to break even so quickly from the most recent pullback.
Right.
And history says that we have another 8% to go to the upside before slamming into another 5% or so decline.
Mike, that was when the October 15th when I went into the triple leveraged all cash fund. I mean, this is just great. And I love the idea of the type two construct. It's not what you do about going long. It's about staying long is half the battle.
Staying the course, which sounds like a political slogan here, but it also sounds like while there may be a political element to the forecast for the markets, a lot of it doesn't have necessarily to do with politics at this point, that we're seeing other factors. And this is also the period, I mean, he's going November through April is a period when the market's supposed to go up.
And it usually does, up 7% on average since World War II versus only 1.4% from May through October. But double those numbers and you're still undershooting what typically happens November through April after midterm elections. And I think you're right, it not necessarily who gets elected, but the result that the uncertainty has gone away.
Now, we've been talking on Surveillance and on Bloomberg First Word this morning to a number of political analysts who all tell you pretty much the same thing, that whatever is going to happen in the first 9 months or so of the year, because then we get heavily into the 2016 campaign. So your numbers, your 15.1% growth historically, is in the calendar year ahead, right? After that, what happens?
Well, good point, because usually the greatest amount of gains occur in the November through April period following midterm elections. Average increase is 15.3%. 12-month return, meaning October through October, is about 17.5%. So really what you're finding is most of the good news occurs early after the midterm elections, and then earnings start to focus. Then we start to worry about what's going to happen the year ahead, et cetera.
Just in the last 24 hours, I've seen more percolation about a lousy fourth quarter of earnings. I mean, we see this every year. How bad is it, Sam Stovall?
Well, according to S&P Capital IQ, it's not going to be as bad as people think.
Thank you.
Our expectations for the third quarter is 8.3%, and we're looking at 7.4% for the fourth quarter, which is higher than expectations were at the beginning of Q3.
Sam Stovall with us. He brings along his Seven Rules of Wall Street. You've got a 300-page book on investment you haven't read on your nightstand. Maybe you ought to try 163 little pages of brilliance written by Sam Stovall, the Seven Rules of Wall Street. One of the rules is we have to ask you about your father, 89 years old, iconic within our communication of Wall Street. How much money has he lost this year?
Actually, Pop says that his investors don't really care if they beat the S&P. They just don't want to lose too much money.
That would be very good.
Just don't lose me any money. Right?
What's the number one thing, away from the media glare of Robert Stovall, what was the thing you learned about investing from him that's in your seven rules?
I would say it's really just taking a common sense approach. He trained under Gerald Loeb, who wrote the Battle for Investment Survival, and Pop basically embraced what's called a concentric circle theory of investing. Look at the big picture. Several years ago, California was running short of energy. So the thought was they needed to build more power plants. So that was the inner circle. What companies traditionally are tapped to build power plants? Jacobs Engineering.
Right.
So it's that kind of an inward-looking circle that helps you to figure out what's going on.
Mike McKee, rule number six is, I think, the most important rule. That behavioral, that sweat where you look back years and say, God, I screwed that up. Don't
Bring
get
the
mad.
Head trader coffee?
Don't get mad, get even. We get mad at how we screw up.
Oh,
and that's Robert Stovall his grace to it.
It's funny, there's rules in here that are, as Sam says, common sense, but there's a whole field of behavioral economics that's now proven. All this stuff is true. Now we know what people like your dad knew for years, just instinctively. Let's go back to the election. Oh, do we have to? I can hear everybody out there saying, do we have to? It's over.
No, but we're, trying to do it with some sense.
Exactly. We're talking about the fact your research shows that the markets perform well after a midterm, particularly when you're left with a Democratic president and Republicans in control of Congress. But that's fine for somebody who's investing in just the S&P ETF. But if you're going to invest in individual stocks, what does the research show about which stocks or which sectors perform the best in these scenarios?
Well, what I've found basically is the November through April period where you do have more interest in equities. There's more money going into the markets as a result. Expectations that there could be an increase in stimulative legislation and spending. It's the cyclical sectors that do well. In particular, consumer discretionary, industrials, materials, information technology. What's interesting is that a 25% exposure to each one of these sectors going back to 1990 outperformed the S&P by about 300 basis points per year and beat the market 75% of the time, and following midterm elections beat the market 100% of the time. But of course, you're looking at a limited number of observations, and there's no guarantee it's going to work this time as well. But it goes to reason that in a good time for the market, the cyclical sectors are going to outperform the defensive ones.
Well, we're not starting from a standing stop here on the day after Election Day. Which of these, the economy is expanding, which of these has momentum right now?
Well, I think that the momentum right now probably is in the tech area. Industrials as well as consumer discretionary have taken it a bit on the chin. Industrials because of concerns from overseas growth. Consumer discretionary because I think investors are just getting a little bit worried about whether the consumers will be spending. But now with energy prices down as substantially as they are, the old rule of thumb is that every $10 decrease in the price of oil adds about 20 to 25 basis points in GDP. So we could see these snap back.
Sam, you in your book, The Seven Rules of Wall Street, you quote great investment minds and investors over the year. Here's one from the American philosopher Sam Stovall. Taking a buy and hold approach with sectors is like buying a Ferrari and then driving behind a school bus the rest of your life. A tendency to buy and hold is gospel right now. And you're saying no.
Well, why bother going down to the sector level if all you're going to do is taking a buy and hold approach? I agree in that if you are looking to basically develop a diversified portfolio, as William Bernstein wrote in his book, The Intelligent Asset Allocator, you want to have exposure to those asset classes with negative correlations to one another. You want to make sure that you are adding to exposure when you go through declines of 5% or more. 85% of them get back to break right. even in 4 months or fewer.
Sam Stovall, thank you so much. Wonderful to have you here the day after the election.
Bloomberg Surveillance, weekday mornings at 7 Eastern, in New York on Bloomberg 1130, in Boston on 1200 AM and 94.5 FM HD2, in San Francisco on 960 AM and 103.7 FM HD2, and Sirius XM Satellite Radio Channel 119. Copyright 2014 Bloomberg LP.